Now we're back up again, falling down. Okay, tonight, Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 13, and then Chronicles chapter 29, we're going to be dealing with a few verses of scripture there. How to discover the true riches. Most of y'all was here when Brother Richie Allen came and preached revival for us and his missionary journey that he's on. And he come and this past weekend and wanted to get away from everything, come and spent a night in Carl's old pond house. But he told me again that how he appreciated this church and the foundation that we have here and the giving that he received from this church. He said it just kind of blowed him away. He said it's just not heard of as much as we give, and I just thought I'd just add a little bit to that and say thank this church, you know, for the giving. And I tell you, you just reach out and you meet the needs in every which way that we need to be met, and I just want to say thank you. And he said he couldn't get over this church, and it was a blessing of how much we give and such a foundational church that we have. He said, you better believe it's not like this everywhere. You don't have this type of foundational church everywhere. And I just told him I appreciate it, and I just want to, he said, just pass that on to the church. And I got to think about that, and thought I'd talk about our giving a little bit and stewardship. And in Luke chapter 16, it's talking about our giving. Also in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David was gathering the money, or the gold, the silver, the jewels, the wood, and everything, finances to build God's temple. God did not allow David to build the temple. He was a man of war. God would not let David do it, but he gathered the great wealth of all the country to be able to pass it on to his son Solomon that built the first temple. But tonight, talking about giving, how much more that we could give if everybody attended, if everybody tithed, and everybody served as we need to serve, how much greater that we could be. Read these verses of scriptures in 16, chapter 16 of Luke, verse 10. He that is faithful, look how many times he says faithful in these few verses. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, money, whatever, who will commit to you trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity that we might come together this night, Father, and meet the real Jesus, Lord, because you said we're two or more gathered together that you would be in their midst. Father, we know that you're in the midst of us this hour. And we thank you and we praise you, God, for your precious word that you said you would meet with us. So we hear this hour, Lord, Father, just to glorify your name. And thank you, Lord, that we can come together this night in that precious name of Jesus Christ. And, Father, we can offer up prayers and, Father, song service and prayers. Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity we have, for the privilege we have, Lord, to pray for those that's on our sick list, those, Lord, that's cold and indifferent or whatever the problem might be for unspoken requests this hour. We just want to thank you for every person that's here this night and for the members, God. We just want to thank you for this church. Lord, we know it's not the greatest in number, Father, but that's not the important thing, Father. What we could just do, Lord, your will is what we need to do. So we want to thank you this night. We pray that you might speak to our hearts and our mind this hour, Lord, that you might give us a refreshment, Lord, that your word brings us, that we might bathe ourselves in the word of God, Lord, that we might be cleansed, oh God. You said, Father, we ask you, Father, that you will forgive us, and we want to thank you, Lord, for that great power that you have, willing to die on the cross of Calvary, that we might be able to have our sins forgiven. So, Father, we thank you for all these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Greatest church is not the biggest church, as I guess y'all all know. It is not the biggest church. There was a church in Thailand that I read about that didn't have 400 members. And those 400 members, every one of them tithed. Their weekly salary wasn't but a dollar or a little less than a dollar a week. And in addition to their income, a dollar a week, they had a certain amount of rice that they was given for their part of their wages. But every person gave back 10% of their wages, and they gave back 10% of their rice. And in Thailand, they done more for the work of Christ than any other church. They sent missionaries to different places at, in the community to spread the gospel. And they ministered to the poor and also for the unprivileged. They made Jesus Christ known. They made Jesus Christ real to other people. And that's what it's all about. And in this little church, everyone, all the members attended. All of them tithed. And all of them served the Lord. And something else about this church that everyone was a leper. Every one of them had that dreaded disease. But you see how to discover your true riches. They understood the true riches and how they carried on the work of the Lord. I got to thinking about if every one of us come down with some disease like that. What a difference, you know, we'd have a difference on outcome of everything we done. I mean, they had a different outlook. What about if every one of us come down with that dreaded disease? Well, it says faithful here four times in these verses that I read. And the requirements for stewardship is to be faithful. And 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That is a requirement from the Lord God Almighty. And we find out in Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, it said David secured the money to build the temple of the Lord. You know, as you turn to that, we find out that it gives us some characteristics, really, of stewardship that we really need. Give with understanding in all of its year. Give with understanding. Give willingly. Give generously. Give with eternity in mind. And give with integrity. That's what these people did at this little church. And verse 16 in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 16, it characterizes us give with understanding. And it says there in verse 16, O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thy own name cometh of thy hand and is all thy own. David understood, in writing here about what he collected, everything he collected, all the great wealth, it would be billions of dollars this day and time. But he understood and they understood, did you see, that God owned everything. It all come, everything we have gathered now, he says, to build you a house, it all come from you anyway. Everything come from the Lord. We are just trustees and we need to understand that. What we have to give have been given to us by God. We do understand that, don't we? Everything we have has been given to us by God. I know that you have bought maybe your child some ice cream, or maybe you know your grandkids some ice cream, or maybe it's a Coke, you know, and you bought your kid or your grandkid an ice cream, and you say, give me a bite. And, you know, they won't give you a bite. You know, they're going to take it away. They ain't going to give you a bite. They say, this is mine. They don't understand that you're the one that give it to them, and you could buy them enough ice cream to stack them up to the ceiling if you wanted to, but yeah, this is mine. They're not going to give it to you. I wonder sometimes if God don't say, you know, just give me a bite of your ice cream, we say, no, this is mine. And God give us everything we have. Everything we have, it all belongs to God. And then in verse 14 it says, as we look at this 14, and it reminds me for us to give willingly. You know, if you made $500 a week, is $50 of it belong to God, or the whole $500 belong to God? If you, whatever you make, how much of it really belongs to God? Well, give willingly. It says there in verse 14 of Chronicles, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thy own have we give thee. So it all comes from God, every bit of it. Everything we have, everything you're ever going to have, did y'all know that it comes from God? I know that you do. But for us to give willingly, in verse 17 now of Chronicles, it says, I know also, my God, that thou triest or test thy heart, and hast pleasure in uprighteous. For as me, in the uprighteous of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen thy joy, with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. David said they all give willingly, and it was joy. You know, you have joy when you give willingly. You know, you can't force people to do things for God. We cannot force people to do anything for God. And God really would remove the joy if they could force people to do things for God. He can't, don't want to force people to come to worship. We can't force people to come to church. We can't force people to give. Can't force people to sing. Can't force people to serve. It says if you just do it willingly. It's kind of sometimes like you got two kids in a room and one of them's got a toy and the other wants it. One of them keeps it for a while, you know, and you know, you say, all right, now it's the time for you to share. Give that toy to so-and-so. Give that toy to little Tommy. And now you can't want to give that toy to little Tommy. The other kid will hold on that toy and he'll hold on that toy. You just have to prize it out of their hand to get them to share. I mean, they just hold on. They have a tug of war. Well, you know, when you do get it out of their hand, that toy is not give willingly. And at the same time, sometimes God has to kind of prize things out of our hand and it's not given willingly. So therefore, we will lose the joy. You say, well, you don't have to give. No, we don't. You don't have to serve. No, we don't. You don't have to worship. No, you don't. We don't have to. A lot of people say, I don't have to. No, you don't have to. God don't want us to. Stewardship gives you an opportunity to do what God's doing. That's what stewardship is all about. God's going to work, going to go on after you and I have left this world. Jesus Christ, he might come back tonight or whenever, but even then Jesus Christ come back to the raptured church, God's work's still going to go on this earth. It's still going to go on after we're all gone. After everyone has left, God's work's still going to go on. And if someone's not giving, if someone's not serving, if someone's not coming, someone's not is not tithing, someone's not worship, it's not going to upset God. It don't upset God. It don't upset God. So we just need to give, we need to serve, we need to be in stewardship, and we need to do it willingly when we give, no matter whether it is of our money, our time, our talent, or whatever. But then three, give generous. And I know that we do at this church, and that is real good. In Chronicles verse 13, it says now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name generously. The ideal of worship and us coming together, you know, it tells God how much he's worth. Did you know what you're doing tonight? You're telling God just how much he's worth by coming. That's what you do when you come to church with one another. How much God is worth to you. That's what worship shows, how important he is in my life and how important he is in your life when we come. How important that God is to us and how much is he worth? How much is the Lord worth? Sometimes I perform weddings and sometimes the groom-to-be asks me, says, how much you charge? I say, well, how much is she worth? At that time, he thinks she's worth a lot like Smart. Hey. I was reading where a church was going to build a new church, a building fund, and they put out for the building fund. Well, a lady come and she gave $50 to the building fund, and she asked the pastor, was that satisfactory? So the pastor told her, if it represents you, and if it represents how you feel about God. Well, she took that $50 check back, she went back home, she's done some soul searching. She come back and she give $500. And she asked the same question, is that satisfactory? And the pastor told her the same thing. If it represents you and if it represents how much you love God or how you feel about God, well, she took that $500 back and she went back home and done some more soul searching. And she come back and she give $5,000. She said, is that sufficient? He said the same thing. Well, if it represents you and it represents how much you feel about God, That's good. She took that check back. And she come back with $50,000. She asked the same question, is that sufficient? If this represents you and how you feel about God, it is. She said, that represents me and that represents how I feel about God. It come from $50 to $50,000. And her heart, she said, was right. And she said, I'm happy to give it. And that was amazing to me. We need to give with integrity in mind. Well, what's that? Well, in Chronicles 15, it tells us now, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as shadows, and there is none abiding. Give with eternity in mind. James says our life is like a vapor. Do y'all believe that? There's some scriptures in the Bible that's come real to me in my life. Used to, when I read that, it didn't mean as much as it does now, and I didn't understand it as much as I do now. But look back over your life, and it says that our life is nothing but a vapor. I can understand it better today than I could 30 or 40 years ago, can you? Just a vapor. And that's what it says in the verse, David said in his verse of scripture here. He's just saying, you know, that our life is just like a shadow. It's here a little while and it's gone. Who's on earth now? Where is your grandfather and your great-grandfather and your great-grandmother and your great-grandparents? Where are they at? Some, our mothers and fathers, where are they at today? They done gone on. That's what David was saying. There's none of us. All of them in the past, they done gone. He says, you know what? Our days are on the earth just like a shadow. They're not going to be many days whenever, you know what, we won't cast a shadow on this earth. A few days, and we won't be on this earth to cast a shadow. And there is none abiding. David said, none, all of them done gone. And before long, it's going to be the same thing happened to all of us. You know, a man met an angel, and he had a request. And he asked the angel, he said, I got a request to make, angel. And the angel said, okay, you've been pretty good. I'll grant you a request. What is it? He said, well, I'd like to know next year's newspaper. I'd like to know what the stock market is going to be next year so I know how to invest. That I might be a rich person. If I know what it's going to be next year, I'll know how to invest. The angel said, okay, I'll just give you that request. So he just made him up a newspaper. The angel did about next year's stock market and how to invest. So the man got his paper down and went looking at it. Man, he said, I'm gonna make millions of dollars here in the stock market. And he saw how everything was going to be the next year. And then he looked over in an obituary column, and his name was in the obituary column. Did you know what? That changed his investment strategy. Because, you see, he had eternity in mind. You see, it all changes. We have eternity in mind. It's all going to be such a little days, and you know what? It's all going to pass away. Another rich man, he was a very rich man, and he went to heaven. I don't know who's going to show us around in heaven. They always say St. Peter meets you at the gate and shows you around. I don't really think no angels are going to be showing us around myself. But anyway, I'll tell you like it is anyway. And so this rich man, he met angel, and he says, I'd like for you to show me around. He said, okay. Well, he had a lot of people working for him. All of them done gone on. There's a lot of laborers, you know, and all of them working for him. And he showed them all the great mansions that all the men had worked for him. And they'd all gone on and where they lived in this great mansion there in glory. Then he turned down and went to a little old small alley. And he saw a little old small house. And he said, well, that's yours. He said, well, that ain't very much. But the angel said, we done the best we could what you sent. So you see, it's what we send to heaven that counts. What can we send to heaven? Anything that we can do for the Lord. Anything that we can do for the Lord. You know, we need to give with integrity also. As we give with integrity, it says there back in verse 17 of Luke that I read, as for me in the uprighteous of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. Uprighteous. What is that? That means integrity. What does integrity mean? That means walking the talk. That means proclaiming and doing what we say we'll do. That means practicing what we preach. That means doing what we'll say. That's integrity. If I'm a Christian, I need to follow through with it. And there's a test that God gives us, and it's our checkbook and our calendar. That means our time and our money. how much time that we spend on things and how much money do we spend on things, we'll really see what our worth our life is at on those two items. But as we look at this, as we see it again, the requirements for our stewardship, we find out that what required to be a good steward and for God's money. And then there's a reckoning for stewardship. What does that mean? Well, back to chapter Luke, as I read to start with, in chapter 16, verse 2, and it talks about the dishonored steward, a parable about this. And he said, "And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." Give an account. What does that mean? That means that you're going to have to give account one day of everything that God allowed you to have while you're here on this earth and how you used it. Did you know that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day, all Christians? We won't have to stand before the great white throne, but we're going to stand. And everything that God has given us in this life, we're going to have to give account of it because it all belongs to God. There's a judgment day of our talent, of our time, and our finances. Y'all remember in Matthew about the parable of the talents, that this man gave one man five talents, gave one man two talents, gave one man one talent, then he went away for a while, and he come back and asked about his talents. That man, he'd give five talents. He'd went out and invested and had five more talents. That he'd give two talents. He went out and invested and gave two more talents. That had one talent, he buried it in the earth. He went ahead and buried it and didn't do nothing with it. So we read that in Matthew chapter 25 and 18. It says, "But he that had received one went out, digged in the earth, and hid the Lord's money." Verse 19 says, "And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them, What'd you do with my talent that I give you?" And it says, a long time the Lord come. You see, the days turned into weeks, and the weeks turned into months. Maybe the months turned into years. The Lord cometh back. You see, all the years that God has given us and all everything God has given us in this life, God's going to come back and amend what we've done with everything. The Lord's coming back. And those that give five and those that give two, you know, they went out and invested. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. "And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into thy joy of the Lord." But now that one had give one talent, it says there in verse 29 and 30, "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundantly. But from him that have not shall be taken away even that which he have. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." There's a judgment seat, as I said, is going to come one of these days. It's going to determine the degrees of our rewards in heaven. You know, we're going to get some rewards. We're going to get some degrees of rewards in heaven. Because, you see, there's a reckoning day coming for stewardship. There's requirements that God gives us, but you see, that reward of stewardship. Back in chapter Luke, that I read to start with in verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much." The five talents and the two talents. Now comes an unfaithful servant. And he says, you know what? It's going to be a bad time. Now you've been unfaithful. And then Luke chapter 16 and verse 11. "If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" If you've been unfaithful in the mammon, money, trusty of what God gave you. You see the true riches. Now, what is true riches? What is the true riches that God has given us? You see, go back to that church where everybody was a leper in that church. And they understood what true riches was. They gave what they could to the Lord. And God blessed it. Now, what is true riches tonight for you? Would it be for you to be healed if you're sick? would it be, you know, that God would bless you above all the blessings you could really comprehend? What would be your true riches tonight that God would give you? The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Will you all say amen to that? I certainly would be on the giving end than receiving end. There's a lot of people that we look around, is certainly needful this day and time for a lot of things. But every one of us, you know, God has given us. And as I go back to what Brother Richie said, you know, how many suits of clothes can you wear at one time? How many cars can you drive at one time? How much, you know, how many beds can you sleep in at one time? How much do we really have tonight? I just want to tell you, God has been so gracious to the people of this country. I want you to look at the wars around our country, around our world this day. Would you like to be living in some of those places this day? God has been gracious to us. And I believe it pays to give, and I believe it pays to give, and I believe it pays to give. And thank you for giving. This church does. It gives good. Everybody, I mean, it's so great to know that we serve in a church will have a great foundation in giving and helping others no matter what the need might be. Sometimes an individual just comes up and helps someone else. Sometimes it says a whole. Sometimes we take up offering. Sometimes we take up love offering, what it might be. And it's about in every area that we do give for the amount of people that we have. As Brother Richie said, it's just unthinkable about how much this church would give a few people that we have. So I want to tell you again, I want to thank you for being that faithful stewardship that we have here at this church. And just keep on giving, keep on doing what God has told us to do. And I want to tell you, that will tell us about how to discover our true riches. It's in Christ Jesus and how much he loves us. We could all give, and we all do, and I thank you for it. I think we could all give more. I know I need to. More of my time, more of my talent, more of my financial. I need to give more. I tell you, God will always pay you back. Y'all believe that? I know you do. I know that God will pay you back more than what you give. He always does that. So I want to thank this church tonight so much for their giving and their stewardship that we have in this church. It's great, and I want to thank you so much. Would anybody like to add anything to this tonight? Orville said I could let you go early tonight, be all right with him. Would anybody like to say anything tonight? Anybody? Any praise report, anything? Anybody like to say anything? If you don't want to say anything, if you're ready to go home, I have to stand up. I don't know what I'd do if y'all sat here. But again, we want to thank you. And just invite somebody to be with us again Sunday. That's what it's all about. And just be praying for those on our prayer list. And it's so great to know that we serve a Lord like Jesus Christ. Coming up, Easter time. As you see, every Sunday ought to be an Easter Sunday for us. Thank you again in the name of Jesus Christ. Brother Jimmy Brown, you might give us a benediction, please.